Welcome to ACE Podcasts. Thanks for tuning in as we elevate clinical endocrinology by taking deep dives into trends and topics that can help us improve our patient care and global health. Find the latest episodes on aace.com/podcasts. And now, let's meet the endocrine experts who will be talking with us today.
Welcome, everyone. This podcast is provided by ACE through the grant Specialty Societies Advancing Adult Immunization, funded by the CDC and coordinated through the Council on Medical Specialty Societies. My name is Geetha Gopalakrishnan, and I'm an endocrinologist in Providence, Rhode Island. I will be moderating today's discussion on talking to adult patients with diabetes about vaccines as we get ready for the upcoming flu season. To prevent morbidity and mortality from vaccine-preventable diseases, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, or the CDC, recommends vaccinations based on age as well as other factors. Currently, vaccines for COVID-19 and flu are recommended in all adults. Other vaccines, such as pneumococcal, hepatitis B, and zoster, are recommended in adults with diabetes. As endocrinologists, we've had an opportunity to partner with our primary care colleagues to ensure that our patients are up to date on all appropriate vaccines. Our goal today is to discuss strategies to improve vaccination rates in our diabetic population and to provide tips for talking to patients about the importance of CDC and ACE recommended vaccines. Two of our esteemed colleagues are here today with us, Dr. Rajesh Garg, who is the head of the diabetes section at the Harbor UCLA Medical Center, and Dr. Ricardo Correa, who's a director for health equity at the Cleveland Clinic, are joining us today for this discussion. They are members of the working group at ACE partnering with the CDC to improve vaccination rates in our patient population. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. Dr. Garg, I'm going to start with you. Do you have a standard approach when you talk to your adult patients with diabetes about vaccines? If so, what is it?
Yes. So, first thing, vaccination is part of the standard of care. It has been in all the guidelines, but has not received as much attention as it deserves. So, since starting work with ACE, we have been paying more attention and developing a standardized approach to improve vaccination in our diabetes clinic. So all the patients who come to the clinic, we ask them and we complete their vaccination records. And then whatever the deficiency is, if they need a vaccine that they are not up to date, they are given a paper with the recommendation. And then when they see one of our physicians or myself, then we, after mostly at the end of visit, because the patient and the physician focuses in the diabetes clinic is on so many other things, including their glucose control, their blood pressure, lipids, lifestyle. So along with that, we do address the vaccine that they need and the importance of getting that vaccine. And then if the patient agrees, then we tend to actually order it right there and have them receive it.
It sounds like in your clinic, you're able to give all the recommended vaccines.
Yes, we are. We are capable of storing and injecting all the injections.
Yeah. Perfect. Dr. Correa, do you have a different approach?
Yes. First of all, thank you so much, Dr. Gopalakrishnan and the team for allowing us to be here. It's a real pleasure. The first part about Dr. Garg workflow, it's something similar to what we do. So the patient enter, the person in the waiting room have some education material that is there so they can read about vaccination, as they have some other educational material for diabetes. The medical assistant, when he's rooming the patient and asking all the other relevant questions like vital signs, or is also downloading the glucometer and A1C if needed, at that point, the medical assistant asks about vaccination. Also, if she doesn't see anything in EPIC, that is our system, mainly from the Ohio Department of Health or from the patient by itself, ask the question, input the data, or if there is nothing, as I mentioned, then what the medical assistant will do will alert the physician. We have been doing alerting the physician with some cards. You will see a red card, meaning the physician or provider need to address the vaccination with the patient. A green card means the patient is already full in all the vaccinations. At this time of the year, the majority of them, as we know, we have the influenza season, we have the new COVID vaccine. So mainly the majority of the patient has been red. And then when you go to the provider or physician, then what they will address is individual the vaccination. For example, all the recommendation vaccines, we are really focusing at this time more in COVID and influenza because we are in that season, but really the physician provider will address all of that. We don't have in-house vaccination except for flu shot. So we have to recommend the patient to go to their primary care, or we have to recommend the patient to go to their pharmacy to get the vaccine. That's the big issue. I think that the model where you have it inpatient and you can order, it's great. We don't have that ability. So that's a little bit different, but all of the patients get their education in vaccines and it's reported in the medical record. We have a smart phrase where the physician or provider can write a dot phrase and then put it there. So it's well documented.
In your practice is actually having these education conversations with the patients? Is it the entire healthcare team or certain members of the healthcare team? I'm kind of curious what you do in your practices.
So I can start. So for example, in our practice, the ones that have really the educational conversation with the patients are the physician or provider. The medical assistant, what they will provide a patient is a card that was produced by the ACE team that have all the education, that have some information about that, that have a passport for vaccination. But more than that, they are not going to do it. So it's mainly in our system, the responsibility of the physician or provider to give that. And, you know, there are certain things that we are going to talk later about timing and about difficulties on that. But up to now, that's the only way that we have found to be some effective in education of vaccination in patients with diabetes.
In our system, actually, we give them the CDC recommended. You know, the CDC has informational pamphlets for patients. So we have printed those out. And when we see that a patient, for example, needs pneumococcal vaccine or flu shot or COVID, so we just give them at that time when they check in that this is something that you need and the nurses will give it to consider so that they kind of get a little better informed and the provider is talking to them at the end of the clinic, you know, when they see the patient.
So Dr. Correa brought up some challenges, you know, providing information sheet from the MA or the nurses is great and they can start the conversation. And then when the providers get involved or the endocrinologists get involved, what have you found has worked or what have been some of the challenges? Dr. Correa.
Thank you, Dr. Gopala Krishnan. So basically several things. One is this workflow that we are talking about. It's beautiful to put some workload, but how can we translate that to a reality? We are putting a little bit of burden, if we go on to think like this, to medical assistant group, to the nurses group, to the physician provider group. So this has been some challenges in that case because we know that we have limited amount of time to see patients. And on top of that, it's important, but you know, you always add extra things. You need to address other kind of things with the patient, but now you need to address also vaccination. So I think that the timing and more in a complex situation with patients with diabetes is so important. We have limited amount of time. what we try to do is having this lunch with everybody and bringing them food and try to every certain amount of time making some meet and greet so they can talk about it and try to that. We see a very good response like 1 to 3 weeks after that event. But then after that, again, we see that people is so it's just trying again stimulus so the everybody understand that. I think that everybody understand, but the system understand the importance. And I think that the second part that has been a challenge is that not all of our patients speak the same language. In this case, English. We have patients that speak other language. And then the translation services sometimes are difficult to translate exactly more with the Latino culture that we have a lot. So having that person that understand the culture and that can speak to those patients so they can understand has been a challenge. We don't have so many physicians providers that have this knowledge. At least we have some of them that help, but you know, we have a lack in that cultural and language barrier with patients. So if I can put it, those healthcare system from one side, having not enough time on all the things that we need to address in patient with diabetes. The other is the education for physicians, providers, and healthcare members that patients of different cultures need different, address them in a different way.
Thank you, Dr. Correa. You bring up really two really important points, and I'm going to kind of tease out one after the other, if that's okay. First thing I'd like Dr. Garge to kind of comment on is the idea of the challenges of engaging your team to ensure that they address vaccination at every visit. It's reassuring to hear from Dr. Correa, like a lunch and an education that puts it in their forefront, improved vaccination coverage 3 weeks later. So that's reassuring. Do you find similar challenges in your organization, or do you have other things that you would like to let us know about?
Yeah, so Dr. Correa did cover all the challenges mostly, and we have the same. It's mainly the clinic flow, because diabetes, as we know, is a complex disease. And so during one clinic visit, which may last 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or even an hour, there is a lot to cover. And every time there are new standards of clinical care, something more gets added, whether it's psychological health or it's dental care or foot care. I mean, we never take off anything. It's not going to go down. It's some more items are added to be addressed in the clinic. So, so that just takes time, and it can slow down the clinic. And so the way we have dealt fairly well, I will say, with the clinic flow up to the provider level. When it comes to the endocrinologist, it's their time. And so that is where mostly we have a challenge, like, what should they give priority to? What is the patient priority at that visit? And what should be the provider priority? So we need to cover everything. We have built a template so that nothing gets missed. And in that template, there is immunization as part of the essential item to be covered. But again, it's an issue of more with time. We have the different linguistic skills. People, we can cover that, provide that. But mostly the challenge is time.
No, I from my experience as well, I think time is the biggest factor in clinic, and particularly provider time and how to utilize it. One of the things that we did and we're trying to implement right now is the idea of using our medical assistants to do a checklist for vaccinations. And as long as the patient has had a vaccine and is agreeable to go get a vaccine, it never hits the provider. It automatically goes through. It's only the person who says, I don't want to get a vaccine. So you kind of limit the number of people the providers are talking to. And that has helped with our workflow a little bit. So we'll see how that goes. That's another strategy as well. So the other thing that Dr. Garg brought up is the idea of how many vaccines to address in a visit. Do you address all of them one after the other? And I've spoken to both of you, and you both have different approaches on this. So I'm going to have Dr. Garg comment on that at first.
Yeah, so we don't talk about all this. So like what you do in your clinic, Dr. Gopalakrishnan, we also have the nurse or the MA make a check mark of which vaccines patient need. And then if they have already received, for example, COVID, then we don't really talk about COVID. But if they haven't received pneumococcus, then the provider will talk about pneumococcus, advantages, disadvantages. So yeah, we don't cover all. We focus on what they need that will be beneficial that day. And then, yeah, so that's what we try to. And especially if the patient is not willing to take vaccine, that makes it more of a discussion between provider and the patient. Because if they already said, yeah, I don't have that, and can you give it to me? So then it's less of a discussion because the patient is already well informed and they know and they want to take it. Yeah.
So let's say if a patient sees you every 3 months and they're hesitant about taking vaccination, do you follow that up in subsequent visits? Do you have a way of keeping track of something like that? I'm going to have Dr. Correa comment.
Yes. So one of the things that we do is in the note, the way that we're doing is in the note, there is at the end, there is the smart phrase that the patient is being addressed. And then there's also a smart phrase that the patient needs a follow up in the next visit to continue talking. So more for the provider to see in their note the next time to see the prior note and say, oh, okay, we need to address X or Y or Z vaccination. Usually what we have figured out that the one that get a little bit more complicated is the COVID vaccine. The other vaccines are very well received, but COVID is the one that always is some for X or Y or Z reasons. You have to be a little bit more careful and address several times. But that's the way that we are doing it, with reminders in the note for the next thing. We try not to use other reminders in our healthcare electronic records to call the patient, all of that, because there is nobody that will follow up at this time. But at least if you put it in the note that please, we will address this next visit, the it seems that the providers are doing that.
Yeah, we do the same, but we also try to involve the primary care doctor because, primary care has the same issues. They are more capable, I think, maybe better equipped to deal with the immunization because they do it for all the patients. So if we miss someone or if someone needs follow-up, we'll send a note to the primary care to address that when they see them.
That's a great point, Dr. Garg. This is a team effort. We're one part of the team, but there's primary care and other healthcare providers that we need to kind of partner with to help us accomplish this goal. So that's a very good point. As you have these conversations with your patients, is more of your conversations about scientific information about the vaccines and side effects, or is that the focus of your conversation, or is it more about personal experiences? What have you found that works to get patients who are a little more hesitant to get vaccinated?
Yeah, I can start. I think that something that you mentioned is very important. I think that for me and the population that I see, the thing that work the best is your personal experience. Telling stories about things that you know. And it's because, as I mentioned again, I think it's a little bit of cultural competency in the Latino culture. A lot is based in influence on what you experience. You are different, will be from different cultures. But I think that personal touch at saying, you know, in my family, I talk to them and I tell to my abuelita that this is good, and then they will feel identified and that result better. If I come with, yes, the data and all of this, you know, has been reduced, blah, 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 more with the COVID has been reduced. What Dr. Fauci said, all of that kind of things work for us as physician community, but it doesn't work for the patient. The patient don't care about Dr. Fauci and all of that. The patient care about you as your main provider physician. So I think that the way that I have seen more improving is just telling my personal experience, how in my family, in my thing has been better. And with that, I see a little bit of more response.
Yeah, I think there has been so much media attention. And in my experience, most patients, when they refuse a vaccine, there is a reason that it may be misconceptions or whatever it is, misinterpretation of the information or correct interpretation. But they have a reason why. So I tend to ask them, like, why, what is your take on that? So, and then focus on trying to correct that, whatever misperception is there, or discuss with them. And I think that approach helps. And many patients, yeah, they will agree with you or still not agree with you.
That's a great approach, making it very patient-centric and having them guide the discussion. And Dr. Correa has brought up a really good point multiple times, the idea of disparities in vaccination rates among certain populations. Do either of you have strategies of how to address that or think about that and how we could do better in some populations?
Dr. Correa, you have more experience in that.
Well, I think that one of the things that we like to do, it's as I mentioned, it's patient centric. Sometimes it's not even population centric, because you can have people from certain identity of the group, and that's a total outlier. So asking the person first, what is their understanding about it, so you can come with a solution from that understanding. Definitely, as I mentioned, I think that language and cultural competence on vaccination in patients with diabetes is vital. I think there's a great job that the team is doing on this, the ACE team is doing on this for this different population, because that way we can address things. So, for example, we know that in a Latino community, when you address this, you have to address it to the entire family. It's not just the patient that is the patient that suffered diabetes, but you bring, if this is a male, you bring the partner that usually is, you bring the kids, you bring everybody. And in that conversation, most likely in the Latino community, the female take a lot of responsibility of the house. So if you convince the spouse, everybody else will get it. So sometimes if you have a person, a male partner that it comes and you think that you address the question with them, you will not get an answer. It's always, oh, let me ask my partner, spouse to see it. So that kind of things that we need to understand probably is a lot different from other cultures. For example, the American Caucasian culture is totally different. People make their own decisions, and this will not be helpful for them. But I think that having that understanding on the different cultures and how to address how important things, key solutions. So, as I mentioned in my prior answer, abuelitas, the grandmas, they are so important in the Latino culture. So if you convince grandma that this is important, whenever they have the meeting, they say, hey, you got your vaccination. And that will be so so helpful. So they do the work. And the other thing that I figure out that works a lot for us is community healthcare workers. So empowering community healthcare workers to start educating their own communities. Instead of you going to the community, this community healthcare workers going there, that helps a lot in increasing some vaccination rates in certain populations.
That's a really great point. Again, you're talking about teamwork, right? Whether it's community health workers, primary care doctors, family members, it's all of us trying to achieve the final goal. So I think we have to figure out how to rally the troops in our effort. So as we end this podcast, do either of you have any advice, wisdom for our listeners as they start to embark on this effort of improving vaccinations in their practices?
I have advice, actually. See, something that many of us don't realize, but with so much to do in the diabetes clinic, too many things to address, it's easy to miss out and remember after the patient has left. So I think I will recommend all our colleagues, all endocrinologists, to include it in their templates. Whatever template they use in the assessment and plan, just have it already there so that you have to, so that you don't forget. So that when you are going through your template and addressing different problems, it just doesn't get missed out.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and if I can add something, I think that you mentioned this, Dr. Gopalakrishnan, I think that is involving the entire team in this effort. This is not just a responsibility of the physician and provider that, in this case, for example, endocrinologist. This is a responsibility of everybody, from people that are leaders in the community, involving, if you want, the church, the centers, all the education materials on them, empowering those people to do it. Then when they come to your clinic, all the people that are in the clinic, the nurse, the medical assistant, the assistants, everybody there, plus involving the primary teams and the primary care teams and all of that, that is the only way that we will be able to be successful, because in one time, in one period of episode, you cannot change the world. So this is frequent conversation, frequent information that is getting the patient, so then you can make a change in that community specific to the place that you are living.
Thank you both for a great discussion. As we end this podcast, I would like to encourage our listeners to talk to their care team members about strategies for improving vaccine coverage in their practices. The ACE website for Vaccine Champions has updated recommendations and tools such as Patient Bingo Card, Coding Toolkit, and links for additional resources. Please take a minute to visit ACE.com/immunization. Thank you again for joining us today. We wish you success in your vaccination efforts.
Thanks for listening to another great ACE podcast. Join us for another episode at aace.com/podcasts and help us in our mission to elevate clinical endocrinology. Together, we are ACE.